I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to Him I give, ever to Him I'll cling. In His blessed presence live, ever His praises sing. Love so mighty and so true, merits my soul's best song. Faithful, loving service to Him belong. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows His will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Amen. Let me tell you, when it comes to spiritual nourishment and spiritual life, nothing else can help but the love of God. He's provided everything that we need. Why? Because He loved us. Why? Because He chose to. That's the only answer we have. We know we don't deserve His love. We certainly can't earn it. But praise God, we didn't have to. He earned it for us, didn't He? All right. Well, this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about truth. And I've already mentioned where truth is found. Solid truth. Dependable truth. Truth that we know has no error in it. And that truth is found in the Word of God. It's going to be in the book of John this morning. We'll begin here in chapter 4, John chapter 4. I know that we're all familiar with the account here in John chapter 4 of the woman at the well. We're going to read a little bit of it this morning. Beginning in verse 19, John 4:19, the woman saith unto Him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. He knew all about her, and he'd never seen her before. She'd never seen him before. So, in light of that knowledge of her life from this stranger, she said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Well, what's a prophet? Well, that's a man from God, isn't it? Somebody who has a connection with God. I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, her forefathers, that her family and that nation learned from. In other words, tradition was handed down to them. Our fathers, she said, worshipped in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And I love the words in red in this Bible, because they're the Lord's words. Jesus saith unto her, verse 21, woman, believe me. Believe me. That's some powerful words from Jesus Christ. My word is truth. Believe me. It's dependable. You can count on it. Believe me. What I say is truth. Believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither worship in this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem. When ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father, God. Then he goes a little deeper. Ye worship, you know not what. In other words, whatever it was that they worshiped in the mountain, it wasn't God. It was a little g God that they worshiped. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Well, where is that origin of the Jews? Well, of the family of God. From Seth, from Noah, from Shem, from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the family of God. The 12 sons. The family of God. That's what he's explaining to us. We worship you. I'm sorry. Verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is. When he's speaking to her, he said, the hour cometh, and now is. When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, verse 25, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Who did God reveal himself to Moses as at the burning bush? Moses was scared to death, wasn't he? Don't send me. There's got to be somebody besides me. Who should I tell them that sent me? What did he tell him? He said, tell him I am sent you. I am. Well, this is he who's speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well. All right. I said a few times already this morning that the Lord provides everything that we need. The first thing that we need is a connection with him in our life, right? And he gives it to us. How does he give it to us? He gives us it to us in the form of spiritual life. He enlightens us in the truth. He enlightens us to the fact that we are lost and undone without him. He enlightens us to the fact that we need him in every way. That's the life that he gives us. It's that desire I spoke of earlier for him, an affinity he gives us for him to draw closer to him. Why? Because we now love him. Why? Because he's changed us to love him. Because he loved us. Not only does he give us this life, but he has provided what we need to sustain this life. How do we keep strong? How do we keep growing toward him? And it's by partaking of the truth, the Word of God. So important. So easily discarded. So easily trampled on, God's Word is. Oh, but so important to those who live spiritually. Because within these pages is spiritual food and nourishment. God can do things any way he wants to accomplish his task. He has chosen the foolishness of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to save souls. He has chosen this God-inspired book for the purpose of feeding His children and nourishing them and straightening them out when they go crooked. So important that we partake of this spiritual food. That's exactly what it is. Now turn over to John chapter 6. All right, so you remember this account also. The Lord had fed 5,000 with a very small basket of food. A miracle. They saw it. They ate it. They experienced it. They obeyed Him when He told them to sit down in certain groups and all that, and He fed them. Verse 22, John chapter 6. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereunto His disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with His disciples into the boat, but that His disciples were gone away alone, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias, nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. That's the miracle we talked about. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither His disciples, they also took shipping. They found them a boat and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found Him on the other side of the sea, they said unto Him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek Me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. So what was on their minds? Well, they had come across a man who they wanted to make their king. Why? Because he could provide everything they needed. Provide food for them every day out of basically nothing. Sounds like a lot of people today, doesn't it? They'll be able to do, we can just hang out. Hang out with this guy and we'll eat. We don't have to work. We don't have to plant. We don't have to reap. We don't have to harvest. Let Him be our king. We'll be able to live for free, not have to do anything. So the Lord is pointing out the condition of their heart. They're hung up on the natural provision. And He's pointing that out. Now He says in verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth. In other words, even the food that He multiplied out of the loaves and the fishes, it perished too. I mean, it was food. It went away. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. What meat is that? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's where the food is. That's where the spiritual nourishment is. That's where the drawing is. It's the Holy Spirit within us driving us to His Word where the life is. We need that life. We need that life. We can't stand the separation from God anymore. We need Him. We need Him more and more. He said you'd have tribulation in the world, but be of good cheer. In other words, don't let that get you down. Whatever's going on in the world, don't let that get you down. Because I am has overcome the world. He has defeated all of our enemies. Then said they unto Him, verse 28, we're in John 6, 28. Then said they unto Him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? What might we do that we might work the works of God? What had they seen Him do? They saw Him make provision, food. They saw Him multiply a couple of fish and some loaves into enough to feed 5,000 plus. That was a miracle. We want to be able to do that. How can we do that? What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. Get this. Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him who He hath sent. This isn't just an acknowledgement of someone's existence. No, this is a powerful belief right here. This is a saving knowledge of Him. That's the work of God. What did He point out a while ago? That He prayed to God the Father. Then the provision came forth, didn't it? Then the fish and bread was multiplied. You see, Jesus constantly pointed to God the Father. Not my will, but His will. Even if it means being tortured and crucified on a cruel cross. Your will, God. Whatever You want. So should we be. This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. The work of God is constant exercise of faith in Him. What is it? Constant exercise of faith in Him. Going to Him in prayer. Seeking Him. Realizing and expressing that we need Him and we depend on Him. And we know He's going to come through every time. Is it going to be exactly the way in our mind we picture the future? Probably not. And that's probably a really good thing. Because our carnal minds are not the same as His. Paul tells us to put on the mind of Christ, think like Him. What would He do? Think like Jesus. They said, therefore, verse 30. They said, therefore, unto Him, what sign showest Thou then, that we may see and believe Thee? What are you going to do that's miraculous? Then we'll believe you. Like the fish and bread thing wasn't miraculous enough. What else are you going to show us? Show us something else. Then we might believe you. What sign showest Thou then, that we may see and believe Thee? What dost Thou work? Then they bring up their father's miracle in the desert. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And when they said He, I think they were talking about Moses. Their fathers. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, and He straightens them right out. How? By the words that come out of His mouth. Same way He keeps us straight, by His word. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. But My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. That is Jesus Christ. You see, He is the true bread from heaven. When we partake of His Word, we are partaking of Him. Just like the manna nourished their bodies in the desert. God put them in the desert, didn't He? He did. But He didn't leave them there alone, did He? No, He was there with them. Literally, physically, and visually, in the cloud by day, cloud of fire by night, cloud by day, a rock, the rock from which living water came out. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. That's Jesus Christ. He is the bread that came down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then said they unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, verse 35, John 6:35 says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger. You see, this spiritual life that we have, it's eternal. Never hunger. God's Word is eternal. The psalmist says, forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled Where? In heaven. In the presence of God. Where we're going to be. Forever. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now it was amazing that God rained down manna from heaven. When they woke up in the morning and they came out of their tent, it was laying all over the ground. He gave specific instructions on picking it up, preparing it, which day that they didn't pick it up. I mean, God was specific. It was good for that day. If they kept it overnight, it rotted. It was a provision for that day. And they were learning to be dependent on Him. Jesus compares Himself to that manna. That was physical manna to get them through that period of time, that 40 years. Yes, they had quail, they had water, but the manna was constant. The Lord compares Himself when He says, "For the bread of God," verse 33, "is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." That is Him. "I am the bread of life," He said. "He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst." What was His answer when they said, "How can we do that? How can we work the works of God? We want to be able to take two fish and feed the whole village too." What did He say? "This is the work of God," verse 29, "that ye believe on He who He hath sent." That ye believe on Him whom He hath sent. That's Jesus Christ. When you believe in Him, you trust in Him for everything that you need. And praise God, He's the promise keeper. He's the original promise keeper, isn't He? The true and living God. You will have everything that you need to live this life and the everlasting life that follows. And it's coming. It is definitely coming. Now, again, when they walked out of their tent every morning, the children of Israel in the desert, there was manna laying on the ground. Their job, if you want to call it that, what they needed to do and what they were instructed by God to do was to pick it up and prepare it. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He is the Word. They could have stomped all over that manna, and it would have been of no use to them. But they didn't. They obeyed God and they picked it up and they prepared it. We can walk all over this book. We can deny it. We can leave it, lay it on the shelf. We can carry it around and never open it. But we've been instructed to seek Him diligently on a daily basis. And He's found right here. Whatever it is that we're perplexed about today, whatever it is that grieves us today, whatever it is that worries us and causes us to be stressed or depressed or whatever it is, the answer to that problem is Jesus Christ, I promise you. He's the promise keeper once again. He has promised to take care of us. "I am the bread of life," He said. So, we said that spiritual life comes from Him. He gives it to us freely. We can and don't, never would deserve it, of course. Why? Because we're sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of a perfect God. But you see, He doesn't stop there. He doesn't just give us life and say, "All right, you know, do your best, you'll be all right." No, He goes much further than that. He gives us the provisions that we need to eat and drink of Him, to partake of Him. They picked up the manna off the ground. They prepared it as instructed. They picked it up, they put it in their mouth, they chewed it, they swallowed it, and it was nourishment to their bodies. There's some great instruction right there. That's what we must do to continue to draw closer to the Lord, is to pick up His Word, meditate on it, or chew on it, look into it, ask God to show it to us. There again, He's the faithful God. He's promised. When you knock, the door will be open. He's promised. You go to His Word in prayer and you seek an answer to your issue in life or whatever it is that you feel you need to draw closer to Him, and it'll be found right here. He will show it to you. And then He'll apply it to you. You see, our God is a personal God. Very personal. He lives within you. And boy, when we realize that, all of this other stuff just kind of lays down like a fog burnt off by the sun, doesn't it? And we see that He's my God. I can depend on Him. I realize that He's here for me. Always. And He's always here for my good. The world can do a lot of things to us. All the way to the death of this body. Oh, but Paul tells us that nothing can separate us from God's love. And in His great love, He has a great and perfect plan for you and for me. Not just mankind in general. And then it's up to man to do what they want to. No, that's not how God works. He's omnipotent. None can stay His power. None can change His plan for you in your life. He's got great things planned for you. And they're going to reach into eternity. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, and it's going to be the brightness of His glory, not the sun, we'll have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Boy, we've got a great Savior, don't we? Remember your future. Remember what's important. And it's truth. The truth is important. You hear a lot of things from a lot of places. But what you hear from God is the bona fide truth. It is the foundation on which we not only live now, but we will forever praise Him and live for Him and with Him. Praise God. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word this day. Lead and direct you, draw you to Himself, where all solid hope is found.